I want you to look at what availability does, and I want you to know, I want you to understand what we're doing here. I called these boys, well, I called Sam, and I asked for the craziest thing they could do. Do you know they didn't question me? Not once did they ask me why. Not once did they say, I won't do it because I'll be ashamed. Not once did they say, but my friends are watching on Mevo. Not once did they say anything other than I'm in 100% on board. You're looking at what kids wear to school some of the time, yes? This is what they wear to school some of the time, okay? In 1975, what I have, we wore to school. But let me tell you, it was not because you were rich. It was not because you were well known. It was because you were impoverished and poor. You understand? You didn't have anything if you dressed like me and they talked about you. But you know what? I invested for the kingdom and I'll do whatever it takes to save someone's soul. I don't care how jacked sideways I have to get. I'm on board 100%. Yes? Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Love you. Okay, let's go ahead with the first one. I'm going to jump right on in. Okay, as we stood before you this morning, we were characters easily judged. Now, before I opened my mouth and said anything, if anybody saw us wandering around the sanctuary and what we were dressed in, I can assure you that you judged me. I can assure you that you judged these kids and asked them what's on in their mind, what's going on with them. Yes? Okay, on which aspect one concentrates in judging others will depend on the character of the particular judge. As we judge others, so we are judged. And in Matthew 7:2, it says, judge ye not, for ye shall be judged. When you're vested in the kingdom, there is no room for judgment. When you're vested in God, there is no room to judge another person. You don't have that right. Scripture tells me there is but one judge and one judge only, and it's not none of you. Next one. Let's be honest. Some of you already casted your vote when we took the stage. Others said I can relate, and others thought that we'd clearly lost our mind. Yes? Let me tell you, this is me. You'll never know what I'm coming up to. I promise you, I can get pretty. I preached Pink Floyd from the stage. I am not afraid to go there. And if preaching Pink Floyd from the stage saves a soul, then I'm on board. I am vested. Are you vested in the kingdom of God? If you're vested, why are you sitting on your tush and not doing anything? Because everybody's got a job in God's kingdom. So why are the churches empty? We'll see where you stand at the end. Go ahead. God brought me this morning, and I don't, it was an article that was on the internet, so these are not my words, but they fit, and I'm going to use them. It says, in most weddings, the minister ends the ceremony by saying, by the power vested in me, by the state of whatever state they're in, I announce or pronounce you man and wife. The word vested means fully and unconditionally guaranteed as a legal right, benefit, or privilege. The state has given an individual the power or legal right to make two souls one flesh. If the state can do that for you, what can God do for you? If the state can say, I can marry two people and make them one, what can God do for you? Are you willing to find out? Or are you too busy manipulating your way up the ladder to get what you want and forgetting God? Did you shove him in the bush? Did you put him outside? I can tell you there's a lot of it walking around. There's a lot of walk, there's a lot of talk, but there's no action to follow it. Go ahead. If the state can give an individual power to marry a couple, how much more power do we have through the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God, which dwells in us and gives us power, is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Did you understand what I just said? If we are made in the image of God and we are God's creation and we hold the same power that He does, why are the churches empty? Why is the lame still walking around? Why is the sick still sick? Why is coronavirus still coming up? We got too many people running around fearful. Can I tell you the power don't work where fear is allowed? Acts 1:8 says, and this is the easy to read version, but the Holy Spirit will come on you and give you power. You will be my witnesses. You will tell people everywhere about me, in Jerusalem, in the rest of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. Can I tell you that Pastor Manny Lopes was a vested man? You didn't stand in his presence for 2 minutes that he wasn't saying something about Jesus Christ. I know he cornered me a many a day. If he seen me on the property by myself, I can assure you before I left, I knew who Jesus was. Over and over and over again. That man had no fear of what you or anyone else thought about him. He stood strong as a pillar of the church. He stood strong as a pillar of heaven, and he will remain a legacy forever. To everyone who ever knew him. He was a vested man. I can only hope that when I'm called away, you will stand on the stage and say, I was a vested person. She did whatever it was required. She climbed in a dumpster. She did this. She did that. Whatever it took to make God's kingdom flow, she was 100% in. That was Pastor Manny Lopes. Let me tell you what, though, his road wasn't easy by no means. The devil come against him time and time again. Are you going to be able to stand when the devil comes against you? Because if you don't, and if you're not, you're clearly not vested. Romans 8:11 says, and it's the easy to read version, God raised Jesus from the dead, and if God's Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your bodies that die. Yes, God is the one who raised Christ from the death, and he will raise you to live through his Spirit living in you. We are a creation of God. God says we are made in his own image, correct? Okay, if we are an image of God and we are made into his image, then why are we powerless? God by no means was powerless. Jesus by no means was powerless. You know why you're powerless? You don't have enough faith. You don't get in the word enough. And you surround your people or you surround yourself with the wrong kind of people. What goes in the ear, processes through the mind, goes to the heart, and comes out your mouth. So by the power vested in us by the Almighty God through the Holy Spirit, we can positively change the world. We can change the world. You want Corona to stop? Start praying against it and believe what you pray. You can say a million things and you can cause your life chaos and you can live in hell for the rest of your life. But if you don't believe what you say, you have no power and it won't come to pass. Ask me, I can tell you. The power vested in us gives the ability to raise the dead, control the weather, heal the sick, release protection, cause multiplication, and bind demonic forces on earth. That's telling me that I can change things, Pastor Donna. That's telling me that if you're sick and I pray for you and I believe it and you believe it, you're not sick anymore. What happened to the miracles that would line the stage? What happened to the miracles that when you walked by, they fell out in the spirit, and when they got up, they didn't have their issue anymore? What happened to it? It died because your faith isn't real. Luke 10:19 in the ESV, that's It says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That, my friend, says you have dominion over your circumstance. You have dominion over whatever is bothering you, is ailing you. Let me tell you what, this week, as every other week, before I take the stage, everything gets jacked sideways, but did it move me? I'm tired of the devil playing with me, you understand? It's not going to move me anymore. Stop it. Doesn't matter what tidal wave you send to me, it's not going to distract me anymore, so stop it. This is the second time in a row that he's done something to jack me sideways before I take the stage. Does it look like it affected me? Is it going to? No. I'm not giving it the glory. Wealthy and impoverished, the wealthy versus the impoverished. I had fun with this actually, because being vested, you need things, yes, and you get things, yes. But let me tell you a little secret here. The wealthy and the impoverished wear the same thing. Now let me show you how, okay? You see that top picture over here? The lady's got her hand between her leg here. I Googled rich woman in ripped jeans. That picture came up. I Googled poor woman in ripped jeans. The bottom over here came up. You know what the difference is? The rich pay $59.95 for theirs and the poor pay $13.95 for theirs. You know why? Because they wait for the rich to discard it. You know what your problem is? You're running around discarding God and the poor's coming by and picking him up. They're coming by and they're picking him up and they're making him work for them. They're speaking truth and they're speaking everything they need and they're getting it. And you're standing by going, but what about me? What about you? What about you? Are you discarding him because you're done with him? Are you discarding him because you want to go to a party? Are you discarding him because somebody said something that brought something up from years back? Let me tell you something. When you tell me you love me, you're vested in me. And when you tell me you love me and you're vested in me, you don't get the right to discard me. You don't get the right to complain. Am I going to hurt you? Probably. I'm human. But it doesn't give you the right to throw me away, shove me in a bush like somebody once said. That somebody once said, I clearly had to say, come again? They said, they were sitting there and they were jacked sideways, just jacked as you can possibly imagine. And they said simply, I put Jesus in the bush. And I went on about my business. And I said, come again, you what? What did you do with Jesus? He said, I put him in the bush. I said, why didn't you take him with you? He said, I wasn't in no mood to take Jesus with me. Can I tell you that's what we do? Jesus tells us one thing, we want another, and when we don't get our way, we take him off. He's not a toy. Stop toying with him. If you tell him you love him, you're vested. If you're vested, then do your job. Many people think vesting is all about money. Very few have given thought to their eternal investment. I'm going to take you to a place you've seldom thought about. I'm going to talk to you about your eternal life policy. When people start talking about vesting, the only thing they hear is money, 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 money. Why? Because that's the only time you ever talk about vesting. Money, money, money. I'm going to invest for my future. I'm going to, and I had to laugh on Friday night because Bishop was going exactly where the sermon was going. When he came up here and he did the offering, he's going exactly where this sermon is going. It ain't about your money. It ain't about what you can do. It ain't about how many souls you brought to the kingdom. It's about a heart condition for yourself. You cannot vest me. I cannot vest you. You have to vest yourself. It's a heart condition. People pay good money for used stuff. You know, Jesus paid a good price for used stuff. Jesus paid the ultimate price for used goods, some damaged. If you don't believe me, he's got the world's biggest antique store, all of us. He does. This picture's really funny because when I was going on Facebook one day and I saw it and it said, would you use these? Is that what it said, Eugenia? Would you use these? And I laughed. I'm 52 years old. I'll be 53 next month. And I have done all of that. I have used all of that. This over here is your washing machine. And I washed on a scrub board till I was probably in my second marriage. I washed on a scrub board. I would put the clothes in the tub and I would wash on a scrub board. These cast iron things, they make the best food. You collect them? Yeah. They make the best food. They make the best food. If you ever want brown gravy that's country style, you get you a cast iron frying pan. They make the best weapon too, but that's sermon for another day. Jesus paid the greatest price. Okay. At an early age, my mother told me I was chosen. She vested in me. She said I was chosen. At 6 years old, I was the youngest of nine, and all I wore to school was hand-me-downs. I kid you not, I went to school looking like this and was proud. I was some kind of proud. I had no problem, none. The only thing I had a problem with was how people would tear my heart out and how they would make me cry because they would tell me I was no good and I was poor. Was I poor? Yeah. But not anymore. I bet you I'm one of the richest people in the kingdom of God. Because you know what? It ain't all about here. It's about there. My mother made sure she vested in me and my future because she made my sister come by every Sunday. My mother never went to church. My father was the town drunk. I was known as the town drunk's kid. But my mother made sure that this little girl was in church every Sunday. My mother made sure that my sister picked me up and took me to church every Sunday. She vested in me. What does Jesus say about our words and our thoughts? Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, and this is in the message. It says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. How many can attest to that? Because if what you're thinking you get, you better be careful. You better make sure it's coming from God. Because your thoughts aren't his thoughts. That means that if it's going all well, somewhere there's a monkey wrench in it. And if it's not going all well, you better be heeding to it because it's God telling you what to do. God's decree, for as the sky soars high above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as the rain and the snow descend from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth. You see, that's written in green there, and don't go back until they've watered the earth. Remember earlier I said your mouth had something to do with being vested or not? That tells me that God waters the earth with the dew. The dew doesn't come back up until it's watered the earth. When he releases the dew, it does not come back until he waters the earth, right? So how did it get here? God said, right? God said, go water my earth. So if we're made in the image of God, then we bring things on ourselves. I've been turned onto a book that's going to change my life. Because I know now what I think and what I say is what happens. You want your life to stop being chaos? Stop creating it in your mind. Doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for the farmers and food for the hungry. And here we go. This is my evidence. So will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them and to do. They'll complete the task I have assigned them. That's God. He's vested in you. God is 100% vested in you. He paid the ultimate price. He gave his son. What are you doing to be vested in him? It ain't all about coming to church and being seen and wanting to walk the right road, but in out of everybody's view, you're going down the wrong road. My friend, that's not vestment. That's not being vested. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself and every animal that moves on the face of earth. Okay, God just said that he made you in the image of him to take care of earth, right? And everything in it. That means you're your brother's keeper. And if you're coming against your brother to climb up a ladder, oh, I'm so sorry for you when God gets done with you. If you are using people to get what you want and you're using people to do things not godly and benefiting the kingdom of God, I feel so sorry for you, because I assure you there will be a payday. God created human beings and created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, produce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. If you are waiting for me to beg you to work in the kingdom of God, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. If I ask you to climb in a dumpster with me and you refuse, I'm not begging you. If I have to beg you to work for God, it's not going to be blessed. And if you're going to work for God for accolades of man, it's not going to be blessed. You are not vesting. I like this. Notice the pictures, okay? Everybody's felt, I love this guy here in the mask, okay? I've been that person. I have sat in a congregation right over here and felt like an outsider. I have been out at the property and felt like an outsider. I had somebody come to work day and say to me, I feel like I don't belong here. She's my friend. I'm so glad you showed up because they said they didn't have anything for me to do and I felt like I was an outsider. She's my friend. What are we saying to people? I think it was Bishop just today said that your actions, or maybe it was Friday, says that your actions, no, it was in today in before prayer, right? That our actions reveal God. Our actions reveal God. Our actions reveal God. You snub somebody on the street, you just snubbed your God. I don't care whether they're a sinner or a saint. We are all created in the image of him. Spiritual cliques, okay? They are like spirits. That means that the cliques that people commonly call clique is not a clique. They're only drawn together like magnets because they have the same thoughts. You want to get into that clique? Start having that thought. I promise you, you will be welcomed in. So how do we break it? Try thinking godly things. Try thinking unity. Try thinking kingdom thinking instead of selfishness. There's only one who was vested in 100%. And I have that there like that because before this sermon unraveled, and I didn't ask you if I could use it, but that's okay. You're a pastor. It doesn't matter. Before this sermon unraveled, okay, I asked Pastor Donna, and this has been last year sometime, about being vested. Been last year sometime. I walked up to her and I said, are you vested? That's all I said. I don't even remember what you said back to me. But whatever the comment was, I just kept on going because I was trying to get my thoughts together. And then God squashed that one for several others in between. And then now it is. So I said to her, there was only one person that was ever vested 100%, and that was Jesus. That means he reaps the full benefit of being vested. Jesus reaps the full benefit of being vested. He reaps all of us. If you look at Pastor Donna, you see Jesus in Donna in everything she does, correct? She, my friend, is vested. Vesting, or being vested, okay, is a contract. It is a contract. Go ahead and pull up the rest of it. It's protected or established by law or contract. The next one. Legally entitled to a future benefit as from a pension, okay? You understand that being vested in the kingdom of God gets you a life policy, correct? An eternal life policy. My contract is signed with blood. What is yours? My contract with the kingdom of God is signed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What is yours? I am vested. What is your motive? Are you fully vested in God? What is your motive? Think about that. What is your motive to get into the kingdom of God? What is your motive to get into church? What is your motive to hang around certain people? Are you a self-seeker? Are you seeking for what glorifies and gratifies self? If you are, I'm sorry. What have you been doing? I'll tell you what, yesterday was the best work day ever because there were people out there that I hadn't seen in a while. And when there's more people, the dumpster fills up faster and I get out of the hot sun, praise God. Okay? Just saying. The more people comes, the more people bring it, and the faster I get out. Stand in that dumpster sometimes. It feels like standing in the center of hell. I'm telling you, it's hot there. It'll get you right. Next time y'all think y'all vested, come stand in the dumpster with me for a day. Okay? We'll see how vested you are. Vesting comes with a price. What are you paying? Jesus paid it all. What are you paying to be vested in the kingdom of God? And I'm not talking monetary. I'm talking heart. Do you say you love him out of one side of your mouth while you're cussing out your friend out of the other? Do you say you love him in front of the pastor while behind his back you're talking about him? Vesting means you are seeking an eternal policy, not a life insurance policy. Can I tell you there's a difference? An eternal policy, or the life insurance policy, expires upon death. The life insurance policy expires upon death. The eternal policy, or eternal life policy, begins upon death. So you have a life insurance policy here. Do you have an eternal life policy so that they overlap? Or are you going to find yourself without? When I was a little girl, I used to come home crying because of the things that they would say to me. And my mother vested in me. She would tell me I was chosen. And I asked God, I said, God, what's the difference between chosen and called? And he said, when you're called, you don't have to come. If your mother calls you, come to the supper table, and you're not hungry, you don't have to come. But when you're chosen, you cannot walk away. When you're chosen, you don't get the right to tell God you're not going to do it, because he will jack you sideways until you do it. Going to talk about Joseph in Genesis 37:3. In the voice, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his brother or any of his other children. Because he came along when he was an old man. So Israel presented Joseph with a special robe. He made for him a spectacularly colorful robe with long sleeves in it. You know what my mother used to say when I would come home crying? God love my mother. She's in heaven now. But you know what she used to say to me? Joseph's brothers didn't like him either. I said, but they're not my brothers. They're not my sisters. And she said, oh, but they are. Get over it. You're chosen, and it's all a part of God's plan. Thank God for my mother. You will someday look back and see it all a part of God's plan for your future. What my mom was putting into putting life to, my eternal life policy. She was making sure I was vested. I can stand before you right now and say I'm chosen, because I cannot fathom for 1 minute running away from God for any reason, for any time, for anything. I cannot, Pastor Don and I were talking the other day, and I cannot think of a time. Now, there was a time I was angry at God, and there was a time that I wasn't doing things right, but I can tell you that I never forgot who he was. I never didn't do what he told me to do, whether I was in church or not. So I can't fathom walking away. I run full force, unstoppable, straight to the arms of God. That's why I stand before you a doctorate in theology. Not because I wanted power, I wanted notice, I wanted a name, but because I wanted to know who he was. And I figured the longer I stayed in college, the more I would know. But you can't go past the doctorate unless you start all these other things. And I was done at a doctorate. Not that I knew him like I needed to, but I did know him. As a little girl, I'd sit with a King James Version Bible and tell the stories that my Sunday school teacher taught me to imaginary friends. Every creature you could imagine. When the church wasn't full, I had no problem preaching to an empty sanctuary because I could see all my imaginary friends out there. Yeah. Try it sometime. Works. It was God's love for a sinner that captured my heart, though. I'm going to tell you a minute about an 11th hour worker. My father, I said, was an alcoholic, a very abusive man. Hated me with a passion. He was an 11th hour worker. They took a Bible and handed that man a Bible at 3 o'clock in the morning, and at 3:45 he died a saved man. He was a vested man. He had a heart change. Now, he died from cancer, but he had a heart transplant. He had a heart change, and that made him vested. Are you vested? Matthew 26 through 10 in the Passion says, hoping to finish his harvest that day, he went to the town square again at 5 o'clock and found more who were idle. So he said to them, why have you been here all day without work? Let me tell you something. I love you, Bishop. If you go to the property and you stand around idle, you best be looking for something real quick. Because if you don't, he will find something for you to do. There ain't no idle hands. Idle hands brings bad work. Okay? Because no one hired us, they answered. So he said to them, then go and join my crew and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard went to his foreman and said, the owner of the vineyard is Jesus to God. And he says, he may have been a sinner all his life, but he's mine now. He's vested. When the evening came, the owner went to his foreman and said, call in the laborers, line them up, and pay them the same wages, starting with the most recent one I hired, finishing with the one who worked all day. God sees no difference in you. His heart breaks every day because we humans make differences in each other. If you're filled with God, you're filled with God. There is no differences. When those hired late in the day came to be paid, they were given a full day's wages. And when those who had been hired first came to be paid, they were convinced that they would receive more. They were convinced that they would receive more. You have to understand that Bishop is held accountable more than I am because he's Bishop. I am held more accountable than you are. However, we reap the same reward. We reap eternal life. We reap Jesus Christ. Now, are there different levels? Yeah, but you don't understand. We reap the same thing. We're on the same road. We're vested. Please understand, vesting in the kingdom of God isn't about how much time you're in service, how much money you give, not even about how many people you lead to Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. All these things are needed and is good for growing the kingdom. However, vesting is a condition. It is a Christ-like heart. Yes? Terms of investment. This is where it's going to get real good. Go ahead. We have cash out, borrow from, obligations, payment, payoff, terms of the contract, and sell. Go to the first one. Are you vested? We're going to see. Cash out is the steps and process that are set into motion when the decision is made. Have you cashed out? I can tell you several people in the Bible that cashed out. Genesis 4:8 says, jealousy is eating at Cain's heart. Left unattended, it consumes him. Cain spoke to his brother Abel when they were in the field. Cain's envy of his brother got the better of him, and he attacked and killed him. Who are you killing? With your actions, your deed, your words, whatever, who are you killing? You're causing somebody to cash out, or have you cashed out? Borrow from. To take and use up something with the promise to give back something of equal value. If I can have just a few more minutes, it's 12 o'clock. If you need to leave, go ahead, but this is important. It says to take up and use something with the promise to give back something of equal value. What are you taking from somebody that you're not giving equally back to? Better yet, let me rephrase the question for you. What are you taking from God that you're not equally returning to? Matthew 25:1-13 message says, God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went to greet the bridegroom. 5 were silly and 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps, but no extra oil. And the smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they fell asleep. What have you fallen asleep on that God has given to you? What has God told you to do that you are absolutely refusing not to do? You might as well go ahead and do it, because you're not going to walk away from it unless you're called. In the middle of the night, someone yelled out, here, the bridegroom is here. Go out and greet him. The 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to the smart ones, our lamps are going out. Lend us some of your oil. Go ahead and flip it. They answered, there might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own. They did, but while they were out, he came. He came and he locked the door, and they stood on the outside crying, let me in, let me in, let me in. Are you vested? If you are, vest in your brother. If your brother needs something, do it for him. We are our brother's keeper. Much later, the virgins went and the silly ones showed up and knocked on the door. I just went ahead, go ahead to the next one. Are you vested? Obligations. A debt of gratitude or for a service of favor, the condition of being morally or legally bound to do something. Are you obligated to God? Yes, you are. Do you think you're obligated to God? You better. Go ahead. Luke 7:36-50, once a Pharisee named Simon invited Jesus in to be a guest of a meal. I'm going to go ahead and just tell it. Just kind of follow with me. In this story, Jesus invited them, Simon invited Jesus to his house, okay? In his house, a woman walks in. It's the favorite story in the Bible. It's one of my favorite. She began to kiss his feet and wash his feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. Okay, she was obligated. She knew who she was obligated to. Do you think she cared about who was standing around watching her? No, she didn't. Simon even made the remark, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman was touching him. How did Simon know? You better be careful who you're calling not worthy. Because God takes the garbage and makes the king and the queen. Okay? And Jesus jacked him up. Jesus said to him, Simon, I walked in your house and you gave me nothing. You offered me nothing. You did nothing for me, but she hasn't stopped crying over me. She knew who her obligation was to. Do you know who your obligation's to? Go ahead. Payment. The action or process of paying someone for something. Matthew 17, 24 through 27, when they arrived at Capernaum, the tax man came to Peter and asked, does your teacher pay taxes? I'm going to do the same thing again. Okay, he asked Peter, does your teacher pay taxes? And Jesus says to Peter, well, what are they saying? And he says, well, they say that the children don't have to, but the subjects do. Do you know what a subject is? A subject is a traveler. A subject is someone who comes in and goes out. So Jesus told him, no problem. Go to the river, and the first fish that you take out will have a coin to pay both of our taxes. God paid the taxes for you. God made the payment for you in sacrificing Jesus. What have you sacrificed for him? It's a payoff. The final outcome, a conclusion. Matthew 12, 17 in the Passion, Jesus said precisely, the coin bears the image of the Emperor Caesar, so you should pay the Emperor's portion, but because you bear the image of God, you must give back to God all that belongs to him. And they were utterly stunned by Jesus' words. The coin belongs to Caesar because it carries Caesar's image. You belong to God because you carry God's image. Did we just not read that we're made in the image of God? Then who are you paying? Are you paying self? Or are you paying someone else? Terms of the contract. A period of time during which a contract is in effect. Judges 13:5. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite. He was not born a Nazarite. I mean, he was not of Nazarite descent. Understand that? He was from the tribe of Dan. His parents was from the tribe of Dan. That's not a Nazarite. But God said he chose him, he made him a Nazarite, and he said nothing would touch his head that he would have the power. This, we're talking about Samson and Delilah. Do you know what happened? Samson's mother made a contract with God and signed it with her child's life saying, I will make sure that he does the right thing. I have vested in him. I will make sure that he widens the kingdom for you, God. And you know what her son did? He broke the contract. He let his eyes get full of the world and he broke the contract. He lost his strength when God jerked back the contract. What are you doing that's going to make God jerk your contract back? We're going to talk about sell, and this is the last one. Give your hand over in exchange for money. Give your hand over in exchange for money. What are you selling? Are you selling your soul to the devil? Let me tell you, drugs, wrong kinds of friends, anything that you would not do while sitting in the presence of God, you're selling out. We're going to talk about Judas. Matthew 26, 15 through 16 in the Voice, it says, what will you give me to turn him over to you? They offered him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to watch for the chance to betray Jesus. Let me tell you something. Every single one of you have been a Judas. No denying it. You're living. Every one of you have been a Judas. Don't cut Judas. I've been a Jonah. I have jumped off the boat. And I have been pushed off the boat. But I'm here. And this is what God wants you to see out of everything I've said today. Jesus cast out of heaven to borrow a man, to borrow from man a mortal being, he became flesh. With one obligation on his mind, your eternal life. So he rendered himself payment for your payoff as the terms of the contract required a spotless lamb to be slain. Then he was sold, or then the sale was made final with two pieces of wood, three spikes, and a flowing crimson river of life for all who want it. Jesus is the only one who is vested 100% in your salvation and eternal life. Are you, my friend, vested? If you're not, you need to seek people and get with them. Get your life vested in the kingdom of God. I thank you for staying late. Father God, as we close right now, Lord, I ask you to touch the hearts of those who's heard this sermon, Lord. I ask, Father God, that they would become vested in you, not the things of the world, but vested in you. Lord, I ask for traveling mercies on those who are leaving and those who are traveling. Father God, we give you glory. We give you honor. And again, I thank you for being used as a vessel of you, Father. Have your way in Working Faith Ministries and in the Youth Center as we give everything to you, Father God. We want to be vested in your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.